It's wonderful to see each of you here, and all of you mothers especially. You are amazing. Can we give them a round of applause? Thank you, moms. You know, I was thinking about mothers this week, obviously, as we're praying and preparing and getting ready for this service. And you know, I just think it's great, all the things that mothers do. I sometimes will see mothers carrying like 3 children. I don't know how they do that. And just some of the funny things. Here's what some people said about mothers. I don't know who said this, but I like it. It says, mothers of teenagers know why animals eat their young. Some of you may understand what he means by that. Buddy Hackett said this one time. He said, my mother's menu consists of 2 choices, take it or leave it. Lisa Author said this, any mother could perform the jobs of several air traffic controllers. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. Another person said this, parents often talk about the younger generation as if they had nothing to do with it. And how true that is. You know, all of us have that. All of us have had some type of influence over the next generation. Let me ask you this. How would you describe your mother? One person said this about motherhood, and there's a lot of truth in it. Here's what this person said. Motherhood takes the strength of Samson, the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the faith of Abraham, the insight of Daniel, and the courage of David. Man, there's a lot of truth in that. Because you see, mothers, you are influencers of the next generation. You influence the next generation in so many ways. Now, today, you may or may not be a mother. You may not, you know, you may one day, if you're a single lady, you perhaps would be a mother. But you may not be today a mother. You may be a father, a cousin, or someone who, for you, you have influence as well. You influence those around you. You influence the next generation. Paul stresses the importance of influencing the next generation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me there, Paul makes a statement about influence. And my message today is the influence of a godly mother. And here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. He says, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Obviously, Paul was saying, stressing the importance of influence, the importance of helping the next generation, appointing the next generation the direction in which they should go and how they're to live their life and what they're to be. And Paul's writing about this, and in this whole book, Paul's addressing a young preacher by the name of Timothy. And Timothy had grown up in a home where there was a lot of great influence in his life, and we'll look at that in a moment. But Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And Paul was reminding Timothy in this book of the influences that he has had on his life, of some of the people who have impacted him, some of the people who made a difference. And not only did they influence the Apostle Paul, but they influenced Paul. And not only did they influence Paul, but they're influencing even our generation today. And Paul is describing for them the influence of his grandmother and of his mother in chapter 1. How that both Lois, who was the grandmother, and Eunice had tremendous influence over Timothy's life. He wanted Timothy to remember where he came from and how he grew up and what those influences were in his life and how important it is that we influence the next generation. And notice what he says. If we go back to chapter 1, we'll pick up at verse number 3. I want you to look at the influences because they're very personal for us today. And I want you to notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And Paul goes on to say, greatly desiring to see thee and being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So Paul says, you know, I was influenced by my forefathers. They had a great deal of impact on my life, and what they taught me, I'm living that out. And he says, and then as I'm praying for you and your growth and in your walk with God and all those things, he says, my tears, my life, I'm thinking about that, I'm praying about that. It brings tears to my mind. And I'm joyful of how God's working. But then in verse 5, here's what he says. Timothy, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul said, you've had an influence in your life. What was that influence? Was it the great looks? Was it the intellect of these two ladies? What was it that influenced him the most? What was it that impacted his life the most? The Bible says here, it was faith. Their faith, and this faith was something that is far beyond anything that we think of. You know, we hear a lot of today about modern faith. We hear about faith like, you know, faith in the court system, or faith in mankind, or faith in education, or faith in, you know, in our healthcare, whatever it is. We hear that about faith in these things, but I'm going to tell you, the faith that we can trust needs to be anchored in that which is trustworthy. And what faith we're talking about here is faith beyond just man's kind of faith, but this is faith in God. These ladies didn't have just faith. They had faith in a God that could change their generation. They believed that. And by the way, today, I believe that too. How about you? Amen. You know, mothers imprint in their children's DNA practices and habits and character that will be with them for the rest of their life. What is it that in your life has been etched there, maybe by your mother? What is it that someone would say, well, you know, that's, I know where you got that from. If you want to know, just ask your spouse or one of your children. They know where it came from, because it's just a part of that. Now, my mom put some things in my life as well. She taught me the importance of respect and cleanliness. Cleanliness was big. And when I think about that, I become almost OCD about being clean about things, because that was what my mom did. She taught me those things. Abraham Lincoln recognized the fact that his mother had a big impression on his life. And here's what he said. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. You see, Eunice taught Timothy, who learned from her mother, who Timothy was now teaching others, but we see here that these two ladies were influenced in this next generation. It's the motherhood. It's the power of influencing and helping the next generation understand how to live for God. And that's impacting. One person said it this way, one good mother is worth 100 schoolmasters. You see, it is not just the words that mothers say. It's the life that has the greatest influence. It's not what people say. It's not what you say. It's your life that has the greatest impact. Now, Paul's writing about these two ladies, and we're gonna read a little bit later in this message about where their start was. But we do know that these were Jewish ladies. They grew up under Judaism, that they were familiar with the scriptures, and they knew there was a Messiah to come. And then when Jesus came, they made a decision to call upon Jesus and accept him as their Messiah, their Savior. Now, what they had was they had religion. You see, religion is man work. Religion is an effort of man to follow rules and regulations and things like that. But Christianity is God work. Christianity is that which has already been taken care of. See, Christianity is a relationship different than religion, which is just that regulation. And the Bible said that somewhere along the way, we don't know where, we can't find it here in the scriptures, but we do know that they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And that means they realize that religion can't change their life. Only the gospel and accepting Jesus and faith in Jesus, only that can change their life. Only that can matter the most. And they made that decision because Jesus Christ did come. He did die. He did rise again. And thank God that he is risen right now today on the right hand of God. And he offers to every one of us the hope of salvation. For them, they called upon Jesus, and God changed their life. Religion could not take away sin, but Jesus could. But since Paul was talking about faith, he's talking about their faith. What kind of faith is he mentioning here in Scripture? I mean, what's so important that this kind of faith touched their lives? Well, we have to go to the start. Where does it begin? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible said, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what, church? You know, Word of God." It had to start with the Word of God. Obviously, when we look into the Scriptures and we understand that it's the Word of God that makes the difference, you cannot have godly faith without the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us and instructs us and guides us in faith. That means godly faith. This means you cannot have that faith apart from the Word of God. Let me ask you this. When is the last time you read the Bible for yourself? I don't mean to look it up to say, okay, what do I do here? Or how do I help answer this question? But when's the last time you read it for you? When's the last time that you opened the Bible and let God speak to your heart? The Bible says here that it's the Word of God that feeds our soul. 2 Peter says that. That it's the Word of God that instructs us. And when that happens, then God begins to build our faith. Parents will often talk about the younger generation. You know, boy, this younger generation. But I'm going to tell you that biblical faith, godly faith, will influence the next generation. And when we read the Word of God, we can't help but be moved by God to want to help others know the same God that we know. I want to mention this morning three influences I find in the Scriptures about God and His Word and what we learn about these ladies' lives. Number one is they lived for God. I mean, they lived a godly life. There's no doubt about that. We don't know when, like I said earlier, when they accepted Jesus, but we do know they lived a godly life. Let me call your attention to the word there in verse number 5 again. It's called the unfeigned faith. The idea of unfeigned means a genuine faith. It's authentic. It's real. It's that which you can put your trust in. The faith of these women began the moment they received Jesus. And by the way, their faith was not an emotional decision, just something that, you know, somewhere along the way they just, yeah, well, I have faith. No, it penetrated their hearts and life. It was everything to them. It was all about what was so important to their life. Every decision they made, they filtered everything through what God said and what God believed and what God wanted them to do. My grandmother, she died in 1996, but my grandmother had a tremendous impact on my life. I'll never forget that the days that I would go to my grandmother's house. I remember that my grandmother lived in a Section 8 apartment in a rough part of town. And we would drive over there, and I remember walking into that little apartment, and she didn't have very much material-wise. She had very little. But she had something I needed. She had Jesus. And I remember going to her apartment, and she had her recliner there, and next to her recliner was her coffee table. That coffee table sitting there was a well-read Bible. I mean, the pages were a bit worn from the times when she would turn the pages. There was notes all in the Bible, and wherever she was reading, she had a marker there. And in that marker, she had a prayer list. And I remember one time I picked it up, I'd opened that marker and asked Grandma, I said, Grandma, what is this? And she told me, it's where I'm reading my Bible. I said, what's this marker? Because it had my name on it. My grandmother had been praying for me for nearly 14 years. My grandmother had been praying and believing that God would one day bring me to a place where I could hear about Jesus and make my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. I never forget the day that when I did that, when I called upon Jesus, I called my grandmother to tell her. Because you see, my grandmother, she was concerned about the next generation. My cousins, her children, she wanted all of them. And she believed that God could save her grandchildren and her children. You see, the fact is that what we believe, in fact, you might even say it this way, belief determines behavior. You show me what you believe, it'll affect how we live. If we believe that God is able, if we believe that God can change lives, if we believe that God can influence lives because of our faith, it determines how we pray and what we believe and how we live. Amen and amen. You see, even a child believes things and their behavior is affected by their belief. I read about one child that said when they walked up to their front door, they saw on the door it said Locke Smith. And they thought that there was a man named Smith that was inside that lock. And so what they would do is they would say, well, this man who's inside the lock would open the door and unlock the door when they came home. And so they started sticking cheese inside the lock to feed him. You know, sometimes we hear about those kind of things, but it's true how that what we believe determines our behavior. You know, Gandhi made a rather convicting statement about that that really strikes home. And here's what he says. He says, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. You Christians are so unlike your Christ. Man, the first time I read that, it really got a hold of me because I said, God, I don't want to be unlike you. I want to be like you. See, I believe that Lois and Eunice were like Christ. They were influencing their generation because they had a walk with God. They lived for God. They understood what it meant to know God, and they spent time in getting to know God. That was important to them. But there's another influence I find here in the passage is they look to the scriptures. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, would you go back with me, please? And let's just look at these verses in Acts chapter 16. I'll have it on the screen if you're not there. But just run back with me there and look very quickly. In Acts chapter 16, we see this is where Paul first met the family. The Bible said that then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. Notice that, believed. But his father was a Greek. You see, Eunice believed. Somewhere on the way, she called upon Jesus. And her decision to receive Jesus Christ changed her life. And her son saw that in his mother's life. You ever thought about this way, that the people that know us the best is our family. They know us better than anybody else. They know what we like, what we don't like. They know what we'd be happy with, what we wouldn't be happy with. They just know us. And as I read on in the passage, I learn in verse 2, notice what it says. It says, which was well reported of the brethren that were a Lystra and Iconium, speaking of Timothy, because his mother's faith so influenced Timothy, had such an impact on Timothy's life that his life was changed. Somewhere he made the decision to receive Jesus as his Savior. Now let me encourage some of you today. If Timothy could grow up in a home where, from what we see here in the scriptures, that maybe his dad wasn't even a believer, but his mother certainly was, that even if that's the case, we know that God can still give us a family that honors God. You see, if Timothy grew up to follow the Lord as he did, then the Lord can use your children, even if your family's not perfect. I mean, maybe it's a blended family, or maybe it's a single dad or single mom, or maybe it's something that is different than that. And yet God says we can still, because it's the scriptures that matter. It's the scriptures that can make all the difference in the world. And obviously she taught him the scriptures. And the Bible says that Timothy, he had a great testimony. He was a man that walked with God. And the reason why is because he learned the scriptures. Where did it all start? Let's go back to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this. Very important. And then we'll land here for a moment. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and that thou from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Guess who taught Timothy the scriptures? Mom did. Mom spent time making sure that as a child, and would it not be best if we understand this, that boy, the younger the children are and the more influence we can have on their life when they're young than when they get older. Teaching them the scriptures, showing them the word of God, showing them what it means to be a Christian, understanding that. And Timothy was influenced by that. But I think it's very significant to stop for a moment and look at the generations here that are being influenced through this whole passage. We had, first of all, Lois, who obviously she became the first follower of the Lord. And we don't know when, but some believe perhaps maybe she was a part of that original group who at Pentecost heard the gospel for the very first time. And some of you would know that. If you were Bible believers, you know what I'm talking about. But then we have Eunice, the Bible says. Now that's her daughter. And her daughter now has heard the gospel and received Jesus. And then we have Timothy, who is now a believer. And now there's three generations right there through that. And then Timothy is now preaching and teaching others, who is in the book in Church of Ephesus. There's four generations. And not only that, but we're reading about it today. What was it that mattered? What was it that made the difference? How is it that we have that big of influence? Godly faith. Godly faith. That's what influences the next generation. The authenticity of real faith. Genuine faith. Faith in God. Believing that God is well able to do what he says he's going to do. What a great influence. If we could leave behind as a legacy is the Word of God, and getting the Word of God, what a difference it can make. And then there's a third influence I want to call your attention to. I notice in chapter 1 in verse 6, Paul talks about it, and he's talking about they love the work of God. They love the work of God. In chapter 1 there in verse 6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. What's he talking about? The gift of God. What is that stirring up? He's talking about what God has called Timothy to do, and that is to pastor the church and serve in the church. And why that Timothy would be willing to do that is because he saw in his mother's life, in his grandmother's life, they loved the work of God. They loved it. They wanted to be a part of it. They saw that it was very special. It's something that God has given. It's a gift that God has given. They loved the work of God. Now he's a pastor. He considers it an honor. And I'm not so sure that maybe the spirit that we have, our love for the work of God, is such an important influence to the next generation. What does the word of God mean? What does the work of God mean? How important is that? One legacy we can leave behind for the next generation is to love the work of God. Love missionaries and church workers and leaders and pastors and those who are serving. Love them. Those who are training for the ministry. And then love one another. Boy, what a powerful thought this is. You see, a godly faith will love the work of God. Timothy's life was so impacted because they had great faith. Great faith. Now, they weren't perfect. They had room to grow. Obviously, none of us are perfect. But I'm going to tell you this, our faith can grow. God can use us. God can work in our life. Let me ask you this. What about your faith? Well, you might not be leaving behind one day when God calls us home. We may not leave behind a whole bunch of talent or a whole bunch of technology, but we can leave a godly legacy. You see, Timothy learned that this godly legacy is so important, and Paul reminds him of that. And when I think of motherhood, I think of a godly legacy that many of you mothers are leaving for every one of us. For the next generation. Billy Graham said it this way, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. You may have come here today to honor your mother or to remember your mother or to come with a family. Maybe you're not yet a believer. You're not yet a Christian. I just want to say thank you for coming. But God says to you that it starts with believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you can call upon him today. He can make a difference in your life. Will you be willing to call upon him today because he wants to forgive you? The Bible said that's why Jesus came 2,000 years. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he was buried. That's why he rose again the third day. So that we don't have to have religion. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who took care of it all. He's our Savior. He's our only hope. And God says he wants to do that for every one of us. If you're willing to call upon him, he'll do that. And then secondly, if you're a Christian today, you may say, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I realize the next generation, there's some responsibility here. I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about what's happening to the next generation. I guess we have to say, how is our faith doing? Perhaps we're not as strong as we should be. Maybe there's some areas in our life we need to grow in. Maybe it's the Bible reading. Maybe it's an area of forgiveness that we need with God, that we know that God says, you know, he's dealing with our hearts about something. God will forgive us. And I'm here to tell you today, God is willing to do that. He's more than able to do that. Because God wants to use you and your testimony to be an influence for the next generation. Let's pray.